And now on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM and 99.9 in Prescott and at 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A. It's Talk of the Town. Today is the Thursday Roundtable. Talk of the Town is sponsored by House Chilson & Associates, Prescott Brewing Company, A&E Reaper Graphics, Gettles High Desert Mechanical, Janessa's Family Hair Care, Cottonwood Area Transit, Barrett Propane, Augie's Restaurant, Cliff Castle Casino, Yavapai Regional Medical Center, and Olson's for Healthy Animals. Now live from the studios of KQ&A, here's your host for today's show, Sanford Cohen.
And welcome to Thursday here on Talk of the Town on KQ&A. I'm Sanford Cohen, and as we promised you all month long here on the Thursday Roundtable, we're going to be talking local politics. And we have a couple of great candidates going to be joining us live here in just a few moments. Harry Oberg will be with us. He's running for the County Board of Supervisors, former mayor of the city of Prescott, and he's standing by. We'll have a little chat with Harry in just a moment. And then a little bit later on, a new face around town. He is running for the United States Senate. His name is Daniel McCarthy, and he will join us live a little bit later on in the broadcast. So stick around. We've got lots to talk about here on Talk of the Town, KQ&A AM 1130, 99.9 in Prescott, 95.5 Prescott Valley Cottonwood, and streaming live worldwide at kqna.com. Harry Oberg up next on Talk of the Town, the Roundtable.
Welcome back to Augie's with a few changes. Lunch is served Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 11 to 4. Dinner Tuesday through Sunday, 4 to 8. But two things haven't changed. Happy hour, 4 to 6. With Augie's legendary great food and friendly service, with our servers smiling behind those masks. Enjoy dining on our patio, in our private room, our chef's table, or Augie's banquet room. Locally owned and operated, the place to dine on Highway 69, Augie's Frontier Village.
Hi, I'm Dave Barrett. Have you ever purchased a product and then found out it was made in some far-off land? Kinda disappointing, isn't it? Same holds true when buying from local businesses. Why? Because you want to support locals and keep your money in town. Some supposedly local propane companies are really from out of state, funneling your hard-earned dollars somewhere back east. When you buy from Barrett Propane, your dollars stay right here supporting all of us. Think local, shop local, be local. Barrett Propane, the name you trust.
It covers the entire Verde Valley and Sedona.
It's Cottonwood Area Transit.
That's right, Bruce. Cottonwood Area Transit has you covered wherever you want to ride in the Verde Valley all day, every day.
Take Cottonwood Area Transit through Clarkdale, Verde Village, and from 26 locations in Cottonwood. With Verde Links, it's a quick and easy trip to Sedona every day.
Don't forget our connectors to Camp Verde.
That's why you're in the big seat, Rudy.
And I'm taking the Verde Links seat to Sedona. Let's go.
Visit cottonwoodaz.gov for Cottonwood Area Transit and take a seat.
Would you let it ride? Would you let it ride?
Oh, say, can you see?
It's not every day you hear a British person singing the national anthem, but success is about getting the right attention. At A&E Reaper Graphics, we provide printing that catches the eye. Get your business noticed with exciting new print marketing and signage. Quality marketing shows the quality service we know you provide. Stop by one of our three great locations or call 442-9116. Get your business noticed with A&E Reaper Graphics today.
David Horowitz, author of Blitz, is predicting more protests against President Trump this summer. In Blitz, Horowitz warns Antifa wants to stop Trump. Blitz is already a number one Amazon bestseller. Tune in at 7 p.m. Eastern to Greg Kelly Reports on Newsmax to find out the real agenda of Antifa. Newsmax TV ratings are up 200%. Everyone carries us. DirecTV, Dish, Xfinity, Spectrum, Cox, Optimum, Uverse, Fios, Suddenlink, Mediacom, Wow, Armstrong, and more. Newsmax TV. Real news for real people.
Whether it's a car accident, storm damage, or a fire, when the unthinkable happens, it doesn't matter if you saved money in 15 minutes. In this moment, it doesn't matter if your neighbor has the same insurance you do. In this moment, what matters is that your independent insurance agent and the company that stands behind them have you covered. Auto Owners Insurance, the no problem people. Hello, this is Bill Chilson of House Chilson Insurance. For the moments you need us most, call 445-4600. House Chilson Insurance is one of the last independent agents in Prescott.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, Sanford Cohen.
And joining me in the studio is Harry Oberg, the former mayor of the city of Prescott and a candidate for Yavapai County Board of Supervisors District 1. And Harry, it's good to have you back here in the studio.
Well, thanks for having me, Sanford.
So District 1 is roughly what area of Yavapai County?
It's about two-thirds of Prescott itself, and then it goes all the way down to Wickenburg at the Vulture Mine Road, Baghdad, and over to Castle Hot Springs.
So there's quite a bit of traveling involved, I would think, as a yes. county supervisor. You want to kind of get out and see everybody in your district. Is that that's something you're looking forward to doing?
Or? Yes. As a matter of fact, I've been doing that in my campaigning, getting out, putting up my signs, talking to folks. I think a lot of people out in the rural areas feel that they're kind of a stepchild to Prescott, and a lot of decisions are made in Prescott that really don't take their concerns into consideration. So I'm hearing about a lot of those. Some of the big things they're talking about is building codes and permits and the cost of things, and they're trying to, you know, I mean, most of these places are probably underserved economically, and so I think what they want to do is they want to try and bring in businesses and things of that nature, and when they start looking at what it takes to do the building codes, get permits, I had one guy tell me it took him 9 months to get a swim pool in because it took almost 4 months just to get the permit. I've talked to the county on that, and they said, well, you know, we have a website. All you have to do is go in there to the website and put in your permit. So I've talked to the people out in the rural areas, and they say, well, we go in, and the website doesn't work, or it's very limited or something. So I think there's a lot of – I'll be traveling a lot to get out there to talk to people and doing probably quarterly town halls.
Now, when you decided not to run for reelection as mayor of Prescott, there was some talk at that time that, you know, there might have been like a health issue or something like that as a reason why you didn't want to stay. Because, I mean, you're – you know, you had a nice run, you know, and the city of Prescott, you know, was in recovery, I guess you could say, from the recession during during your term. Was there ever that a concern? Has that been laid to rest? Is that why you're out deciding you're going to take on a whole new elected position?
Well, I think it became a family issue. And we had a lot of talking on this one, and after a while, my wife agreed to support me on it, so I'm very happy about that. And, you know, it's tough to campaign, and it's tough to be in a political position. Sometimes people say things about you that aren't really true, and sometimes
really?
The spouse doesn't.
I am shocked. I feel like the guy at the in the movie Casablanca.
Yeah,
I can't believe that they are that there's alcohol in this place. Yeah. no kidding. And not only that, but it does seem as though, you know, locally we were kind of immune from that kind of nastiness. We could see it happening at the federal level, kind of see it start happening at the state level, but here locally, not so much. But the tide seems to have turned a little bit. I think we're maybe watching a little too much TV in our campaigning these days.
I agree. So I think basically she felt that it was time for me to step away. And like you said, I thought during my term I had a good run. We got some things accomplished, and now I'm wanting to try and bring my experience to the county. Obviously, many of the things that I work with at the city are the same issues that are in the county. So they directly translate to what I'll be doing there, too.
Now, you and I had more than a few conversations regarding the development and expansion of the Prescott Airport. When I was chairman of the Prescott Chamber, we would have like monthly meetings where we talk about all kinds of issues. What's your take on what has taken place now at the airport? Because this, basically, when you and I were talking, this was kind of like a twinkle in the old man's eye, basically.
Right. Well, we had Great Lakes. They had basically a 19-passenger plane that they were carrying nine people on. We had to get to 10,000 employments, that's people getting on an airplane at the airport, a year, to be able to get $1 million from the FAA to support the airport. If you're under that, you only get 150,000. So one of my goals was to see if we couldn't get to 10,000 employment. So I worked with Great Lakes and said, okay, we wrote a new contract. You need to use a 30-passenger plane. That lasted about 3 months, and then they were back to the 19 again. And so it was obvious they were not going to make it. And fortunately, I think for Prescott, they decided to end the contract. And we were very fortunate to, at that time, we were starting to work on a study to see how many people would fly out of this area. And it's called a leakage study, people going elsewhere to fly. Mm-hmm. And what we found out was that if you take a 90-mile radius from the airport around the area, 1.2 million tickets were sold in 2017. So when United Airlines heard that, they felt that there was a good opportunity to come in here and that they would be able to get enough of airfares that they could make it a going operation. The second thing, too, was Emory-Riddle. They partnered with Frank Ayers and the flight program there because, you know, there was a pilot shortage. I think right now there isn't because, you know, the all the airlines are operating at, you know, such a low level. But if everything gets back to normal, they'll be needing pilots, and so they'll be trying to get more pilots out of Emory-Riddle.
So now the building of the new terminal came almost as a direct result of those employments.
Absolutely.
And then Dr. Robin Sabata did an amazing job of marshaling the FAA and other federal grant programs to get Prescott the money that needed. I believe there were 170 or 190 projects, and the government only approved four, and we were one of the four.
Yeah, 167 projects, if I remember correctly, and four of them were funded. I had talked to the regional director back when I was mayor, and I convinced him that we were really interested in trying to get this airport operational with a good commercial air service there, but we needed a much better terminal, and I think that resonated with him. And so when it came time to take a look at it, but I have to give so much credit to Robin Sabata. I think she just did an exemplary job.
Well, and the fact that a regional director was a Michigan State University grad, I thought that was also very important too. We bonded at the groundbreaking as a result of that. We're going to take a quick break. We've got lots more to talk about with former Mayor Harry Oberg. He's a candidate for Yavapai County Board of Supervisors District 1. And then Daniel McCarthy is going to be up a little bit later on. He's running for the United States Senate from right here in Arizona. You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQNA AM 1130, 99.9 in Prescott, 95.5 Prescott Valley Cottonwood, streaming live worldwide at kqna.com. We'll be right back.
Hello, Prescott. This is John Nielsen, wanting to welcome everyone back to Prescott Brewing Company.
This is Roxanne. We just received our 2020 Ranking Arizona's Best of Arizona Businesses publication. This annual publication rates all kinds of Arizona's own businesses. Well, little old PBC and little old Prescott rated in the top 10 breweries in the state again and again. We continue to be relevant in the big world of craft beers with more than 100 in our state of Arizona now. A big thank you.
We hope to see you soon. Prescott Brewing Company in the heart of downtown Prescott.
Hi, I'm Adam Gettle.
And I'm Ted Gettle.
We're the Gettle Bros. You gotta admit, Ted, we get pretty popular in the summer.
I know, Adam. We get service calls from all over the Prescott area.
And we also get quite a few from Cottonwood, Clarkdale, and Sedona.
How do you know that?
A little Verdi told me.
Oh, brother.
That's me.
Keep your cool with a quick call to Gettle's High Desert Mechanical, serving all of Yavapai County. G-O-E-T-T-L. Visit GettlesHDM.com. Don't settle. Get Gettle's High Desert Mechanical heating, cooling, and plumbing.
This is Steve Sishka with Ovalson's for Healthy Animals. One of the things that's always impressed me about difficult times is how pets and animals raise people's spirits. They're non-judgmental and don't pay a bit of attention to social distancing. They love you whether you wear a mask or not, and always listen when you're pouring your heart out to them. That's why you should give them the best, and that's at Olson's. You can settle for good enough, or give your best friends the Olson's difference when buying their food, health supplies, toys, and treats. For the last 41 years, we've been feeding pets and animals with the philosophy of good enough just isn't. We offer in-store service, curbside, and delivery from all of our stores in Chino, Prescott, Dewey, Humboldt, Flagstaff, and Clarkdale. Experience us at our stores on Facebook, olsonsfamily.com, or olsonsgrain.com. Locals feeding locals pets and animals. That's us.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, Chuck Roberts.
Chuck Roberts, my foot. It's Sanford Cohen, and it's good to have Harry Oberg here in the studio. He's running for District 1 Supervisor for Yavapai County's former mayor of the city of Prescott, and also quite a lot of military service in your background. Talk a little bit about where you've been and what you've done.
Well, basically, I got drafted in 1966. I wasn't old enough to drink and vote, but I was able to go fight for my country. So I enlisted in 67 because I wanted to go to flight school. I eventually went to helicopter flight school, spent 2 tours in Vietnam as a helicopter pilot with the Army, and then I had about almost 10 years inactive. And to move into the field grade ranks, I had to get my education, finish my degree. So I got back out and spent about 2.5 years getting my degree, and then I went back in the Army National Guard, ending up with 33 total years of service, rank of colonel on the active side, and the brigadier general in the Army National Guard.
Well, and thanks for your service, obviously, but I'm just curious, how did your experience in Vietnam affect you in terms of, you know, what you thought of your service and about our involvement there? I mean, you were right there in the middle of it.
Well, you know, I was at Arizona State College in 65, 66. And, you know, we had the SDS, Students for Democratic Society, and they were, you know, demonstrating on campus and burning draft cards and telling everybody you need to, you know, go to Sweden and things of that nature. So when I got my draft notice, I went to my dad and I said, "Dad, what do you think? You know, I'm hearing all this stuff on the campus." He said, "Well," he said, "I came from Sweden and I fought for this country in the Second World War." And he said, "You were raised here. This is your country. If your country calls, you should go." I will tell you that I met some of the greatest people I ever met in Vietnam. I have a great love for all the brothers I served with and lost over there. And we thought we were doing a great job, and we were very disappointed when we came back and the way we were treated. And for most of us, that created a lot of anger for a long time.
I just would feel that, you know, once you have an experience like that under your belt, that it probably is really hard for you to get stressed out.
Yes.
I would think. You've been in other places, other situations, right?
Yeah. You realize things can't be as bad as they were.
And because you mentioned the, you know, the need to get out and talk with citizens. And so how do you see the position of being a District 1 supervisor? Because, you know, 2/3 of the district is Prescott, which is the county seat. You're going to, if you are successful, you'd be succeeding Rolly Simmons again in an elected position. Where do you think, where do you draw the line between what Harry thinks ought to be done and what the citizens think ought to be done, and what if that doesn't always match up?
Well, you know, I've had a lot of people tell me, if I bring something to you, you're going to actually answer me back, give me an answer. And I said, well, I'll give you an answer. It might not be the one you want, but you definitely will get an answer. I think that's so important. I think I would really love to see everybody in Prescott understand that they have responsibility to the county, and the county has responsibility to them. They should know that just by the fact that they have to pay property taxes.
Sure.
I talk to so many people in the city limits that say, "Well, what are you doing? I don't know anything about the county, and you know I don't care because they don't affect me." They don't realize that you're paying property tax. You probably ought to be interested in where that money's going, how it's being spent. So I would definitely encourage people to go to the board meetings. They can do it online if they want to. It's streamed live, so you don't actually have to go in. I love to hear people's positions on the issues. I think that's something we've missed for the last 3 or 4 months. And, you know, I think there's been a lot of decisions that have been made without citizen input, and I'm kind of concerned about that. I'm a little worried about transparency when people don't really understand what's going on, and, you know, they're finding out about things afterwards.
Well, and so one of the things I think that's central to this idea is the notion of using taxpayer funds to finance the building of additional jail capacity. Right. There is obviously two sides to this, the people that are against it and the people that are for it. Where are you with regard to that issue and why?
Well, basically, I think building a jail right now is not the right time. I've talked to many people that feel that maybe it's not being built in the right place. I think with the economy being in a severe downturn right now, I don't think we should be spending money unwisely. I feel that there's a lot of questions that need to be answered. I've read the Board of Supervisors report that they had commissioned back in 2015 and finished in 2016, talking about various options, and I'm not sure all those options have been pursued, such as pre-diversion programs. Is there a chance that we can build a third story on the jail down in Camp Verde at much cheaper price than the $86 million for what they want to spend out here in around Prescott Lakes? Obviously, the people around Prescott Lakes and Yavapai Hills and Cliff Rose, I've talked to people in that area. They're very concerned about a jail going in because I think people know a jail is not a sightly place. And number one, and number two, you're going to have prisoners going in and out all the time. There's going to be a lot of traffic there. And also when people are released, they're probably going to just walk into the neighborhoods. And so I've talked to a number of former police officers and sheriff's officers that said putting this in a residential area is absolutely the wrong thing to do. So I think we need to take a pause, take another look at this, and I think there's even some reason right now to even drop the 18% somewhat.
Now, this could be a situation of potato-potato, I don't know, but my understanding from having spoken to others that are concerned about this is that the amount of bonding that the county went for this proposed jail was more in the line of $65 million. So how do you account for the disparity between the $65 and the $86 million figure that you quoted?
Well, I talked to Phil Berdone, the county administrator. He works for the board. He's the one that was responsible for going out and selling the bonds. And so I asked him, you know, what are we going to be paying every year? And he says you're going to be paying $4.3 million every year for 20 years. That's $86 million. So when you take a look at that, you take a look at that, we're $50 million in the hole on public safety retirement system for the sheriffs and correctional officers. We're looking at possibly having to subsidize a transportation system when the $3.6 million runs out. You maybe heard about the Verde Connect. We're getting $25 million from the Federal Highway Administration on that. But I've talked to some contractors, and they say there's 9 miles and a bridge and everything that's going to be put in down there. It's going to cost about $75 million. So there's another $50 million that's going to have to come from someplace. And you know, I think right now with the economy the way it is, and we don't know how rapidly we're going to be able to recover. I think we're going to be in this for a year or two. So I think it's best to go ahead and pause this thing right now and get us back to normal.
So if the situation were that you were sitting on the district board of supervisors as the District 1 representative, what would be the steps that you would try to initiate? And would you only really need to have a total of 3 votes to get anything done. So where would you think that support might come from if that was your position?
Well, we have to see who's going to be sitting there in January, obviously. You know, I think there's some folks on the board right now that are fiscally responsible. I think if you can make a cogent argument, I think they will look at that. I'm already hearing that they're a little concerned about the 18% might be more than we should have right now. Maybe we should drop that. My feeling would be definitely drop it at least 9 points, maybe take it away altogether right now. I've talked to business people downtown who, you know, have to pay the commercial rate for taxes, and they say this is really, really tough on them. So I think, you know, if people really take the time to look at this and see how it's impacting the community, I think we can convince people to do a pause.
So we only have a couple minutes left. Folks that are interested in wanting to know more about you and your campaign, although after this interview, I don't think there's anything really left that needs to be uncovered. But hey, you know, we don't have the pretty pictures like they do on the website. So how would they get in touch with you and learn more about your campaign?
Well, I have my website, harryoberg.com. I also have a Facebook page, Harry for BOS1. You can go there. You can, a lot of the information, all my position on various things, everything from water to, you know, county services to saving our Western heritage, traffic. I have all that on there. As a matter of fact, I've got a number of videos I've done. That we had to do that for that period of time when we really couldn't get out. So I was trying to do some videos that people could see my position on the issue. So I would recommend people to go there.
One more quick thing. We've got enough time. I can ask you one more question. Your feeling on consolidation of either fire departments, police departments, school districts, that kind of stuff. Do you think that's something that the county should entertain to maybe try and streamline the way in which some of these possibly repetitive functions are taking place?
Yes. That's one of the things I have on my website, talking about streamlining county services. And I would definitely take a look at that. Any time that we can make ourselves more efficient and also cut costs, I think we need to do it. And, even CAFMA and some of the fire departments, they have PSPRS issues also. So, this is significant for us to try and get a handle on what it's costing us to run the county and try and keep our taxes low.
Well, I thank you again for your service and also for coming in and spending some time with us here on Talk of the Town. Good luck out on the campaign trail. Harry Oberg, appreciate you stopping in.
Yeah, thank you, Zapper, for having me.
You bet. We're going to take a pause. We've got some news coming your way. And then Daniel McCarthy is a candidate for United States Senate. He will be joining us live in just a few minutes, so stay tuned. It's the Political Roundtable Thursday here on KQ&A Talk of the Town, 99.9 FM in Prescott, 95.5 Prescott Valley Cottonwood, 1130 AM all over Yavapai County, and streaming live at KQ&A.com. We'll be right back.
This is Bob Bean of Affinity RV Service Sales and Rentals, and we're proud to have been chosen one of the top 50 RV dealerships in North America. We're located at Willow Creek Road, Prescott, Highway 69, Prescott Valley, and online at affinityrv.com. Affinity RV, bringing family and
Membership in the Prescott Chamber of Commerce is good for your business. As a member, your business will be listed on the Prescott Chamber website and in the Chamber's annual directory. You're also eligible to place brochures in the Chamber's lobby and opportunities galore to network with other business people at monthly mixers and other events. Join the Prescott Chamber today at 445-2000. Prescott's business advocate, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce.
If you can't chew it, odds are your garbage disposal can't either. This is Jeremy Rushton with Yavapai Plumbing and Heating. It's not uncommon to end up with something in your garbage disposal that was never meant to be there. We get it. So that's why right now, we're offering $25 off any garbage disposal replacement, whether it's eggshells or a pan of grease.
Uh-oh, I've done that.
It's $25 off. Call Yavapai Plumbing and Heating today at 776-7025 or visit us online at ypeinc.com.
My name is Steven Sensmeyer, and I'm a candidate for the State House of Representatives in Legislative District 1. I'm running because we need a new generation of conservative Republican leadership. I stand for the Second Amendment, life, low taxes, and school choice. We need a champion of rural issues at the Capitol, and I can be that champion. Vote Stephen Sensmeyer for LD1.
Paid for and authorized by Elect Stephen Sensmeyer.
We're KQ&A.
Thanks for joining KQ&A's Talk of the Town. I'm DJ Phone with your Thursday check of local and state news and weather together, brought to you by Affinity RV. A semi-truck was destroyed following a fire on Willow Creek Road in Prescott.
The incident occurred at around 1 yesterday afternoon.
They found a semi-truck connected to what appeared to be a roll-off dumpster trailer, with the semi-truck itself burning. The occupants of the tractor trailer were able to exit the cab and no injuries were reported.
Prescott Fire Department spokesman Jeff Jones says there were concerns with the high winds.
The vehicle fire could start a wildland component, so a Prescott fire crew was assigned to mitigate any wildland fire. With the high winds that we're having right now, they just wanted to make sure to have a specific dedicated brush truck in order to mitigate any wildland component that might have appeared.
Two Prescott fire engines, a Lifeline ambulance, and a battalion chief responded. It's not known what caused the blaze. Meanwhile, on Tuesday afternoon, the Sedona Fire District was called out to a report of a brush fire near Doe Mountain and the Airy subdivision. A five-acre fire was quickly spreading, but with help from Forest Service crews, they contained it between 15 and 20 acres. I'm Gregory Scott reporting.
Sunny, dry, and breezy with extreme fire danger and an even hotter weekend coming, cooling overnight to a partly cloudy 65 in Prescott, Prescott Valley, Chino Valley, and Dewey-Humboldt, then heating up tomorrow and Saturday to near 96, Sunday and Monday 98. In Cottonwood and the Verde Valley, cooling after bedtime to about 72, heating up to a sunny 106 tomorrow, 109 Saturday through Monday. Your KQ&A news and weather this hour is a service of Affinity RV. Have a great Thursday evening. Please be fire safe and stay tuned as Talk of the Town, the Thursday Roundtable, continues in a moment on KQ&A.
Hi, I'm Dave Barrett. Have you ever purchased a product and then found out it was made in some far-off land? Kinda disappointing, isn't it? Same holds true when buying from local businesses. Why? Because you want to support locals and keep your money in town. Some supposedly local propane companies are really from out of state, funneling your hard-earned dollars somewhere back east. When you buy from Barrett Propane, your dollars stay right here supporting all of us. Think local, shop local, be local. Barrett Propane, the name you trust.
It covers the entire Verde Valley and Sedona.
It's Cottonwood Area Transit.
That's right, Bruce. Cottonwood Area Transit has you covered wherever you want to ride in the Verde Valley all day, every day.
Take Cottonwood Area Transit through Clarkdale, Verde Village, and from 26 locations in Cottonwood. With Verde Links, it's a quick and easy trip to Sedona every day.
Don't forget our connectors to Camp Verde.
That's why you're in the big seat, Rudy.
And I'm taking Verde Links seat to Sedona. Let's go.
Visit cottonwoodaz.gov for Cottonwood Area Transit and take a seat.
Would you let it ride?
Whether it's a car accident, storm damage, or a fire, when the unthinkable happens, it doesn't matter if you saved money in 15 minutes. In this moment, it doesn't matter if your neighbor has the same insurance you do. In this moment, what matters is that your independent insurance agent and the company that stands behind them have you covered. Auto Owners Insurance, the no problem people. Hello, this is Bill Chilson of House Chilson Insurance. For the moments you need us most, call 445-4600. House Chilson Insurance is one of the last independent agents in Prescott.
You have probably heard that all good things take time, but at A&E Reaper Graphics, we deliver great printing now, with same day and next day services available for so many of your marketing or personal printing needs. Don't wait a week for your print signs and custom designs. Stop by one of our three great locations, visit us online, or call 442-9116. Even Amazon can't offer that prime of a service. At A&E Reaper Graphics, we're proud to be your one-stop print shop.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, Sanford Cohen.
As you know, we're talking politics here on the Thursday Roundtable, and joining us live now is a candidate for the United States Senate from Arizona. His name is Daniel McCarthy, and he joins us live. Daniel, I've got to say, first of all, starting out your working career, working in a call center, you automatically have my admiration for having lasted in that position long enough to develop a leadership position.
Yeah, it's definitely a brutal way to learn how to get involved with business, that's for sure. I'm glad that you brought that up. Apparently, you want your audience to really hate me that much, huh?
Well, it's a former call center person, so you're a reformed call center person. But you have a great background, which we're going to talk about, the entrepreneurial and everything else, which is just awesome. But my first question to you is, you're a young guy, you got a young family, very successful. Why have you decided that now is the time to run for United States Senate?
Well, it really happened organically because I was a donor initially in this race. I was looking for someone to run this race because I had just this overwhelming concern that we were going to lose another seat. And it was obvious in 2018 that Martha was going to lose that seat to Kyrsten Sinema. So my disappointment when the governor appointed her to that seat after John McCain passed away was overwhelming. And what really happened for me, with the catalyst for it, was when Martha came on record in August and she said that she was supportive of the governor's red flag law initiatives, I realized at that point that we were settling as a party for another Mitt Romney, John McCain-style Republican. And I just know that the future of our party, if we're going to have a future for this party in Arizona, we've got to have someone that brings that, that constitutional conservatism back into the party, because we've been lacking for such a long time in this state with that type of with that type of thinking. So it was a lot of different things that happened, and like you said, I've been very blessed by this country. This country has been unbelievable to me. I have I've brought tens of millions of dollars into Arizona from around the world, so I have a very unique vantage point at a young age, and I see how other countries are just beating us everywhere, and how America is no longer self-reliant or self-dependent, and I can't stand it anymore. I just, I got to the point where I said, I can't look my children in the eyes unless I do everything in my power to fight. And lastly, what I'll say about this is being a candidate was literally the last resort. I looked for someone, I wined and dined a few people to see if I could convince someone to run this race, and it kind of backfired because all of them said, we want you to do it, we want you to do it. And then next thing you know, we jumped into the race on September 1.
Well, and, I'm leaping ahead a little bit, but Daniel McCarthy distinguished himself working with the University of Phoenix and promoted to management and so forth, and then ended up getting involved in real estate. And that's really where you kind of made your mark. What do you think in terms of the way in which Arizona in particular, but the United States as a whole, seems to thrive, or at least be stuck in boom and bust cycles repetitively?
Yeah, we have an economic system that is so warped from what it was supposed to be. We are, as a country, practically socialist at this point. I mean, people don't want to hear that, but the reality is that we are virtually a socialist country at this point. And a lot of that is that you just described, that cycle nature, that cyclical nature of our economics, is due to way too much government involvement. We have way too much federal government involved in our economics. And that's not the way that our government was designed. So we're heading down a trajectory, a very bad path. And that's another reason that I just was so adamant that I wanted to get involved, because I can't stand watching this any longer where, we go into more debt and more debt every single year. Our deficits are increasing. This year, we're projected to pay 15% of our overall income as a country towards interest on our debt. That interest, by the way, is going to China. It's going to bad players, bad actors. And we can't continue to do this, because we're going to crumble our society from within unless we start making some significant changes. And you've got to have people that, frankly, don't want the job. I mean, the one thing I will tell you about this, this is a job that I will not take the compensation for. I don't want the pension, so I'll donate those things. I'm purely looking to do this because we need bold in leadership, and we need individuals that are willing to stand up. And if that means they have to die on a few hills, then that's what they have to do.
Well, and your in your advertising, you have adopted the phrase "demand Daniel McCarthy." So rather than looking to be elected or whatever, use that word "demand." Describe the significance of that word in being used with regard to your candidacy.
Sure. So that's another example of something that happened very organically. I've owned demanddaniel.com for a long time. And what I used to do is I used to use that for my companies, that if someone really needed to get a hold of me, they could go to demanddaniel.com and reach out to me. It's kind of like a backstop to make sure people could communicate with me. Well, as I started to consider this run, people literally started to demand me, so much so that they started using that website to promote me to people, saying, "Hey, you got to encourage this guy to run for office." I had over 1,000 people ask me to run this race. It was incredible. And we had Demand Daniel was kind of where my resume was, and just a little bit of information about me was out on that website. And it just happened organically. Now, moving forward, what I'll tell you is that we need to, as Americans, demand change. We can no longer expect that the way we've been doing things is going to continue to work. We can no longer rely on these fake Republicans or squishy Republicans, I call them squishy, or these, you know, Democrats that are no longer the Democrat Party of JFK, okay? Let's just face the facts. I mean, we're talking about a very radical left now that has hijacked the Democrat Party. So, look, my slogan, demand, is actually bigger than my name, because what we need to do as Americans right now is demand that our government is taken back over by constitutionalists, by people that want to get the government out of the way and not grow the power of the federal government.
Well, and obviously, as one of 100 United States senators, each one has an undue amount of influence over the ability to control or pass legislation and so forth. How would you grade the way in which our government has managed this coronavirus pandemic so far?
I would give them an F minus. I would give them not only a failing grade, I would expel them permanently from any activity to do with the government. This was the most mishandled government hoax I have ever witnessed before in my life. I am so disappointed in so many people. And it's unfortunate, really, because there were some great opportunities for people to shine and really make a name for themselves, and no one did. And that's what's the most frustrating to me, because who cares, right? I don't care who gets the credit, but we really needed someone to stand up, and we just didn't have that anywhere. Listen, this virus is a terrible thing. No one wants anyone to get sick. I love just the same as you love or anyone else, okay? But the reality of it is that by the time they started the very first shutdowns, if you reverse engineer the math, what you'll discover is that there was so far of a spread rate before they even started these shutdowns that it was virtually unnecessary. Not only unnecessary, it was ineffective. It was going to strengthen the virus. You've got to allow a virus to work its way through, and if you don't, you're just going to make it stronger, because it's not going to. So this shutdown started in March. We're now in July, and remember, it started with a two-week slow to spread. Now we're in the middle of July, and you got everyone telling you have to wear the government on your face, or you will be you won't be allowed to go to stores. You, in some cases, arrested. I mean, this is incredible mismanagement at the highest levels, and I am extremely disappointed. And I look forward on August 5th being your Republican primary candidate, because there's a lot of phone conversations that I want to have. I promise you that.
Now, Daniel McCarthy, you did not attend college. And nowadays, I mean, if you talk to Dennis Prager, who is on our station every weekday, Dennis Prager says that if it was up to him, he would not send his kids to college. He would send them to a trade school or maybe even homeschool them, due to the fact that, in his opinion, there is less education and more indoctrination going on in our universities right now. Is that an opinion that you share?
To some extent, you've got to realize that the corruption has been going on now for so long that the far radical left, the communists, the socialists, the Marxists, they've taken over our education system. So what I realized is that college wasn't for me because I didn't want to be an attorney and I didn't want to be a doctor. There was no reason for me to go to college. I'm an entrepreneur at heart. I always knew that I wanted to, you know, I wanted to be a business owner. I wanted to run businesses. That's always been my knack. And I, from a young age, I had a paper out and I was shoveling snow when I was very young and I was making money. And it's just something that naturally I was inclined to do. So it just wasn't for me. I didn't like the idea of paying for education. Now, if they were willing to pay me, and actually, just so you're aware, at University of Phoenix, you described my very first real job. I was paid to go to college. I actually have 30 college credits that I didn't pay for. And, you know, and that was part of the perks at my previous employment when I was in my, 18. I was the youngest person employed selling college. It's just a racket. So to Dennis Prager's point, I would agree with him. It's a racket. It's a very it's a bad situation because secondary education is being abused by the left.
Now, looking at the state of Arizona and the state of the Republican Party, where do you think you would be able to attract not just vote from within the party, but also from outside the party, from independents and maybe even some disaffected Democrats?
Oh, yeah. I bring a message that everyone wants to hear. It's refreshing. Even your blue dog Democrats, your independents especially, are gravitating to my message because it's real simple. Individual rights, individual freedom, less government, empowering local state governments to do what they need to do and getting the federal government out of the way. We cannot continue to spend our way down this path. And by the way, when you hear a government senator, when you hear our senators and you hear our congressmen and women saying, oh, I'm a sponsor on this bill, or I passed this many bills. We don't want any more bills. We don't want any more laws. We want less laws. We want less regulations. So I'm not going to D.C. To pass law. I'm actually going to D.C. to stop them from continuing to pass more laws. And I think in Arizona especially, the other thing is people are not going to settle here in Arizona for the government interfering with our gun rights. I think a lot of people are genuinely concerned, and I think they should be, on these red flag laws or stop laws that are starting to creep their way into the Republican Party, by the way. I mean, we expect the Republican Party to be the Second Amendment, you know, standard bearers, and they're the ones failing us on this issue. So I think a lot of people will come back to the Republican Party or join the Republican Party because I'm a constitutionalist, I'm a conservative, and I think people are looking for that right now.
Boy, and I'll tell you, the powers that are in opposition to Republicans and conservatives, consisting of the mainstream media, the Chinese Communist Party, the Democrat Party, and social media, the corporate elite. I mean, it just seems like it is such a monolith that, it's going to take practically every single right-thinking person to be able to prevail over such a large block.
Yeah, we definitely need to unify, and we definitely need to mobilize. The conservatives need to understand that this war that we're in, because we're in a war right now. I mean, you just described one of the battlefronts of this war, but we're in the midst right now of the most sophisticated and complicated war that we have ever been in American history. And this war is our generation's war. That's untangling ourselves from this global apparatus that's been created. And again, like you said, a lot of that's been from, you know, unfortunately, from the propaganda that the media has been spewing. I mean, it's no longer real media. It's all propaganda. And we have a situation where we've got to rise above all that. We have to rely on good old-fashioned hard work. That's what I've been doing since September 1. No one has taken more questions than what we have taken. No one has done as many miles or as many meetings. If you've looked at what we've done over 60,000 miles around this state. We have spoken with 20, 30,000 people face to face. And, you know, in this state, in Arizona, a lot of people moved here because they wanted to be political refugees, or they were political refugees from their communist state that they left, and they're here because they expect someone like me. This is what they're looking for, and that's why they're here. So I think, to your point, we've got to mobilize around a campaign like mine, because we've got to make sure that we don't turn royal blue. I mean, listen, you guys all know, I mean, we can deny it all we want, but if you put Martha as our candidate in this Republican primary, you're going to lose another Senate seat. I mean, the writing's on the wall. Mark's going to wipe the floor with her. The poll was just released that shows how much closer I am to Mark than Martha, and it's pretty staggering, okay? I can beat him. I will beat him very badly. His money will dry up just like Bloomberg's did when he was running for president. You guys will be so proud again, and I'm going to set a new bar for a United States senator. You guys are going to be so proud again to say, hey, we've got the best senator in the country.
So, Daniel McCarthy, how do people get in touch with you, or a web address or something that folks can go and do some more research on your candidacy?
Sure. DemandDaniel.com. If you go to DemandDaniel.com, you'll find out all the information you could possibly want, but also feel free to reach out to us. We want to answer your questions, of course, but if you go through and you look online, you're going to see so many interviews. Please follow us on Facebook, follow us on social media, and we really look forward to serving you. I'm asking for your vote, asking for your support, and if I can get that, you guys will be very proud again to have a United States senator like me, I promise.
Well, it's been a pleasure talking with you, the man, Demand, Daniel McCarthy, and
thank you, sir.
Really do appreciate you joining us from the campaign trail, and wish you good luck as we head towards the primary in August.
Demand Daniel. Thank you, sir.
All right. Daniel McCarthy, candidate for United States Senate, joining us live here on Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Back with a few final thoughts when we return live on KQ&A AM 1130, 99.9 in Prescott, 95.5 Prescott Valley Cottonwood, streaming live worldwide at kqna.com. We'll be right back.
I'm Adam Gettle.
And I'm Ted Gettle.
We're
the Gettle brothers
from Gettle's High Desert Mechanical.
And the coolest guys in town.
I don't know, Ted. I looked at your high school yearbook picture. There's nothing cool about that.
Yeah, but when people need a new air conditioner, they should come see us, the coolest guys in town.
Just don't look us up in the yearbook.
Oh, brother.
That's us.
It doesn't have to be a long, hot summer when you get your air conditioning done right by Gettle's High Desert Mechanical. GettlesHDM.com. Don't settle. Get Gettle's and stay cool all summer long.
Hello, Prescott. This is John Nielsen, wanting to welcome everyone back to Prescott Brewing Company. We have always practiced and trained our staff for the safest in food handling and sanitation, and we will continue to do so. We've printed our new menu, and of course, you can always get our award-winning beers on tap. We took out some tables and spread the others out to increase distance, and placed a hand sanitizer station next to our staircase that leads upstairs to our upstairs dining room. We hope to see you soon. Prescott Brewing Company, in the heart of downtown Prescott.
Varicose veins or legs that ache or feel heavy shouldn't keep you from doing what you love to do. The Vein Center at Yavapai Regional Medical Center can get you back to your favorite activity. Our team specializes in diagnosing and treating vein disease, a serious vein-related circulation problem. YRMC's Vein Center will customize your therapy. If a procedure is needed, you'll undergo a state-of-the-art non-surgical treatment right at the Vein Center. And your care will be provided by a skilled vascular medicine specialist with the highest certification for care of the arteries and veins. An exceptional vascular medicine specialist and team. A customized approach to vein health and the most advanced non-surgical treatments. The Vein Center at YRMC. Inspired by you.
Gardening and you don't know where to start?
Waters In-Home Garden Service comes to you and identifies what you have and how to make it better.
Design advice, water strategies, vegetable and flower gardens, soil and food needs, and problem solving. Always problem solving.
You'll instantly be a better gardener.
All for just $200 of expert time with a coupon to fill your garden dreams without ever leaving home.
In-home garden consultations from Waters Garden Center.
We can be at your home this week.
Membership in the Prescott Chamber of Commerce is good for your business. As a member, your business will be listed on the Prescott Chamber website and in the Chamber's annual directory. You're also eligible to place brochures in the Chamber's lobby and opportunities galore to network with other business people at monthly mixers and other events. Join the Prescott Chamber today at 445-2000. Prescott's business advocate, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, Sanford Cohen.
And just enough time to say thank you to our two guests today. Harry Oberg is a former mayor of Prescott and candidate for District 1 supervisor, and Daniel McCarthy running for United States Senate in the Republican primary. Coming up next week here on Talk of the Town, a couple more of our candidates will be joining me live in studio. The county attorney for Yavapai County, Sheila Polk, will be here. And then a little bit later on, candidate for the Legislative District 1 State Representative, Selena Bliss, will be joining us in studio. That's next Thursday at 4 right here on KQ&A. And in just a couple of moments, it's the talk of the Quad Cities. The great one, Mark Levin, will join us here after the news at 5 o'clock. So stay tuned for that. And I'll be back tomorrow at 4 for Let's Talk Sports. Got a lot to announce regarding the resumption of the Diamondbacks baseball season. So join me along with Mike and the doctor tomorrow at 4 for Let's Talk Sports right here on KQNA. Going to be a hot one this weekend. Bring some shade and some water and some sunscreen and make yourself comfortable. It's going to be a hot one. Anyway, we're going to take off and hope that you have a great Thursday, everybody.
You've been listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Today's show was sponsored by the Prescott Chamber of Commerce, House Chilson & Associates, Cottonwood Area Transit, Yavapai Plumbing and Heating, Gettles High Desert Mechanical, Prescott Brewing Company, A&E Reaper Graphics, Janessa's Family Hair Care, Barrett Propane, Augie's Restaurant, Yavapai Regional Medical Center, and Olson's for Healthy Animals. The views on today's show do not necessarily reflect the views of KQ&A, Prescott Valley Broadcasting, our employees, or our advertisers. Join us next time for Talk of the Town on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 a.m. and 99.9 in Prescott, and at 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A.